Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. Lord, these truths tonight have the potential to be life-changing because they are the principles that come from the Word of God, and they are principles that guide us in our interaction with other people. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand, to grasp, and then, Lord, to act upon these principles, to incorporate them in our lives. Lord, help us not to decide we'll do it in a week, a month, or a year, but starting, Lord, tomorrow morning, may we learn what it means to be a Bible friend, a biblical friend to someone else. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll mark your spot there just real quick. I'm going to have you go over to Proverbs chapter 14 real quick, if you'll go back there. I want to show you that the Bible tells you that there's two ways to get friends. Two ways to get friends. Every once in a while I'll get somebody to say, you know, preacher, I just wish I had some friends. I wish I had some friends. Well, let me show you the first way to get it. In Proverbs 14, verse 20, the Bible says, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. So, number one, become wealthy. If you become wealthy, I promise you, you'll have more friends than you can count. I'm not sure if they'll really be real true friends, but it'll definitely attract a lot of people that want to convince you that they're your friends. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 18, if you look, just peek right over into Proverbs 19, verse number 4, again, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. And then in verse 6, many will entreat the favor of a prince, and every man is a friend to him that, what? Giveth gifts. So yeah, get rich and give a bunch of it away, and you'll have all the friends so that you need. Now, for most of us, that's not looking like a good option, okay? And so that's probably not going to be the way that we're going to be able to get friends. And so the second way that the Bible teaches us to get friends is taught in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. And here is, someone says, preacher, I just wish I had some friends. Now, I'm going to try to change your thinking about just even that statement. When I hear somebody say that, there's something inside of me that says they're not figuring this out. They're not getting, they don't understand life. They just don't understand the Bible in that area of friendship. I don't know if I've ever said that in my life. I don't know if I've ever thought that in my life. And I'm not saying that I'm a great Christian. I think I never grew up worried about having a bunch of friends. For one thing, I was always very kind of happy and comfortable being alone. I'm just telling you, maybe you're not that way, but I was. You know, I'm kind of happier when people weren't around than I was when people were around. So it's not like I just sat in my room saying, I wish somebody would be my friend. You know, I just didn't do that a lot. But also I think because something was taught early on in my life that just made a lot of sense to me that I'm going to try to teach you tonight. But how to get friends? Well, I'm not even sure that that's a good question. I'm not even sure that's a good goal. I think that the blessing of biblical friendship, listen to this, the blessing of biblical friendship is not the blessing of having a friend. It is the blessing of being a friend. Let me say that again. The blessing of biblical friendship is not the blessing of having a friend. It is the blessing of being a friend. And so the Bible is emphasizing in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, I think that the byproduct of biblical friendship is that some people, will choose to return that friendship. But this philosophy and the changing of your thinking in this area will bode you well. Folks, friendship is a gift. It is. Not one that someone ought to hope to receive, but one that one ought to be determined to give. Now, did you get that? Friendship is a gift. Not one that one ought to hope to receive, but one that one ought to be determined to give. And so sometimes we think of friendship as a two-way street, but friendship's not necessarily a two-way street. most friendships that become a two-way street actually begin by being a one-way street. And so I can't control anybody else's actions except mine. So if I choose that I'm going to wake up every morning, I'm going to try to extend friendship to people. I'm going to decide to be a friend to some people. You know what? There's not a thing in the world they can do to stop that. You know, it's my choice. If I choose to be friendly, they may choose to be grouchy, but you know what? I'm just going to choose to be friendly. And I'm going to offer to people the gift of friendship. And you know what? You do that enough in your life, you're going to find out that every once in a while, God touches someone's heart, and that one-way relationship becomes a two-way relationship. But folks, that's just bonus. That's not the goal. Okay, look right up here. Come on. I'm trying to help some of you that are selfish people. Sit around feeling sorry for yourself all the time. Always counting, you know, who shook your hand and who didn't. I don't know why more people don't talk to me, and I don't even know if I like coming here because nobody will be my friend. Grow up. Die to self. That's not what the Christian life is about. Friendship is not something to set over in a corner and hope that someone will come offer you. Friendship is something to get up on your feet and go out and offer to others. And that one philosophy could change your life. Okay? I didn't walk around worrying about how many people could be a friend to me. I was always looking for someone who needed a friend. I mean that. Instead of worrying about how many friends you have, start counting how many people you can be a friend to. And one of the blessings of that type of a life, when you're not worried about, you know, it's almost like happiness. People who chase happiness never get happiness. People that forget about whether they're happy and try to make other people happy are happy. Oh, I'm telling you, some of you could break out in a fit of revival right now. I mean, I know you're going to have to die to a whole way of thinking. And I know you're going to have to die to a way that you've dedicated your life to live. But why don't you die to that? I'm tired of watching you frown. I'm tired of hearing you grumble. Honestly, amen. Come on now. You know, I'm not in the business of patting people on the head and feeling sorry for them. That's not my job as a preacher. Listen, you're always looking for someone to feel sorry for you. Then I can show you a great way to live your life. It's the resurrected life. It's the Christ life. It's new life in Christ where you're not worried about you. You know, you don't worry about stuff like that. You realize that the greatest thing that you can do is spend your life helping others, being a blessing to others. So the blessing of biblical friendship is not the blessing of having a friend. It is the blessing of being a friend. So the question of how to get friends becomes a moot point. That's something that selfish people ask. I don't want to learn how to get friends, preacher. I want to take the Bible and open up and learn how to be a friend. And I want to go to the scriptures and learn how to be a biblical friend to other people. And then over the course of my life, God will bless you. You know, cast your bread upon the water and it'll return in many days. You reap what you... And you know what? I'm not surprised that the people who spend their life pouring their lives into others are a lot of times the people that have the most friends in all of the world. And it's not because they went searching for friends. I feel such a blessing. I hear people say something, you know, if you have five true friends in your entire life or three true friends. You know what? I do understand. I mean, a true friend, once you figure out what a real friend is according to the Bible, I can understand. But I'm going to tell you this. If you go around being that true friend, you're going to be surprised how many friends God blesses you with in your life. And so Proverbs chapter 17. Let's look, turn there, verse number 17. Let's look and learn how to be a blessing, how to be a friend to other people, and then just spend your life doing that. And you know what? You'll receive the blessing then of biblical friendship. Number one, the blessing of being a friend. How can I be a friend to others, preacher? Well, first of all, let's count our blessings, okay? The blessing of blessing someone with unconditional love. Proverbs 17:17, the first thing that you have to learn if you're going to be a true friend to someone is how to love unconditionally. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth what? At all times. And a brother is born of adversity. Some of you enter into a friendship with a selfish mentality. Well, I'm going to extend friendship. I'm going to extend tender care and affection. I'm going to extend concern and love to this person. and then I'm going to watch, and if it starts coming back, then I'll keep giving it. But if they're not going to participate, then I'm cutting them off. You don't understand anything about friendship. See, folks, that's a human love. That's a carnal love. That's a selfish love. That's not agape love. You know what? God loved us when we were unlovely. How about Romans 5:8? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't say, get lovable and then I'll start loving you. He said, you're unlovely, but I love you. You know why? Because God is love. And the fruit of the Spirit, folks, the fruit that God wants to produce in our lives towards other is love, and that love is unconditional. A friend loveth at all times. That means, listen, if I decide to be your friend, I'm going to be your friend. And that means I'm going to love you. And you know what? If you hate me, I'm going to love you. And if you tolerate me, I'm going to love you. And if you say bad things about me, I'm going to love you. And if you're mean to me, I'm going to love you. Amen. Amen. We ought to be glad that God doesn't treat us like we treat everybody else. Every day, let me just watch you. And if you're having a good day, I'll love you today. And if you're not, then I'm not going to love you today. That's not my God. We're supposed to love as God loves. Now, Jesus provided us. I'm not going to have you turn there, but let me read it to you. Jesus provided us, I think, one of the most amazing examples of this while he was here on earth. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? How about Matthew 26? Verse 48, now he that betrayed him, talking about Judas, gave them a sign saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Man alive. That's Christianity. That's Christ's likeness. I mean, folks, this guy's a snake. 3 years he followed Jesus around, pretended to be a Christian so he could steal money out of the pot, the bag. So for 3 years he's been embezzling. For 3 years he's been pretending. For 3 years he's been playing the game, and finally he sees an opportunity to make quite a bit of money by betraying Christ. So he goes and sells him out. Then after he sells him out, he doesn't have the guts to lead the soldiers in and say and publicly become the betrayer. He says, Now here's the plan. I'm going to walk in there like I'm one of the disciples. I'm going to go, Hail, Master. Hail, Master. Hi, Master. Right after you just sold him out. And then on top of that, I'm going to kiss him on the cheek. And that'll be a sign of affection to identify the person that I need you to arrest. You don't think Jesus knew all this was going on? And yet Jesus, the first word out of his mouth when he turns and looks at Judas is friend. You know what Jesus was teaching us there? A friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times, okay? So just decide you're going to love people. Just decide you're going to love them. We have all kinds of different personalities in this church. Let me just tell you this. I love y'all. And I don't just give lip service to it. I mean it. I love y'all. Sometimes you drive me nuts. Sometimes I drive you nuts. Amen. Someone want to say amen there? All right. But you know what? We can drive each other nuts and still love each other. We don't have to agree with everything everybody says or does. We can still love them. Are you getting this? And so, folks, why don't you take people off trial? Why don't you take them off trial? Well, I better watch them today. Why don't you take them off trial? Why don't you decide you're going to love them? Now, listen, if you are interested in having friends, you're selfish. If you're interested in being a friend, you know what you ought to do? You ought to walk around in life and say, I need to find somebody that just needs love. Somebody that just needs to be loved. Let me tell you something about this culture. And this is going to touch hearts. Listen to this very carefully. You're going to agree with this. I believe you're going to be able to testify to the truthfulness of it. But in this verse, Proverbs 17:17, we read. Proverbs 18:24, we're right here in the same section. Let's read this. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Notice this. There is a friend that what? Sticketh closer than a... I'm going to tell you something, folks. We live in the end times. And let me tell you something about the end times. In the end times, we see that a lot of our culture has gone way down the path towards being reprobates. If you read Romans chapter 1 and you go through that teaching, where what, the steps towards becoming a reprobate, one of the then the list of sins, when you get to that point of being a reprobate, Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. And it goes on down, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parent, without understanding, covenant breakers. Now here's the one I want to point out to you. Without natural affection. Without natural affection. Now hold on to that and think about it. I'm going to come back to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know that also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Think about that. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Now let me tell you what natural affection means. Natural affection just means family affection. Affection that ought to be very natural, very normal. For instance, it ought to be a normal thing for a mother to love her children. I mean, you know, come on. A mother has children. It's a natural, normal thing. And yet, we live in a society where we see folks on a constant basis. Situations where, you know what? Mothers seem to have no love at all. I mean, no concern. Not even just the natural maternal instincts. Where's your kid? Well, I don't know. What are they doing? I don't know. I just need some meth. Sorry. I don't know. I want to watch my show. I told them to go play. I don't know where they're at. You know. Who they with? I don't know. I mean, folks, come on. Lost people 25 years ago. Expected their kids when the street lights went off to be home. They didn't. They wanted to know where they were. Without, I mean, natural effect. You know, it's normal. Look, watch this. It's natural. It's normal for a husband to love his wife and his wife to love her husband. It's normal. It's natural. And yet, in this culture, watch this. Come on. It's unusual. No, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about agape love. Now, what's happened? Let me tell you what's happened. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. Now that is a distorted, unnatural, ungodly love. Let me say it again. Unnatural, ungodly love. When you begin to love yourself and you become number one, it steals the love and the kind of love you ought to have for everybody else in your life. I could stand here and safely say just about every problem and every sin boils down to selfishness. It boils down to selfishness. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. The next thing you know, three or four down the list is without natural affection. You know why a husband don't love his wife like he ought to? Because he's too busy loving himself. You know a wife doesn't love her husband as she ought to? Because she's too busy loving herself. Yeah, I mean, you know why the kids don't love mom and dad like they ought to? Because they love themselves. You know why mom and dad don't love the kids? Because they love themselves. You know why Christians don't love Jesus like they ought to? Because they love themselves. And so as soon as we buy into this, as soon as we allow the culture, and you don't think that this is taught, you say, preacher, listen, we have a culture that is being trained to believe that the greatest love of all is a love for self. Years ago, Whitney Houston came out with a song entitled The Greatest Love of All. It went to number one on the charts. I can't ever... Can I take a little funny side trail here? You know, it has nothing to do with a message. I'm driving a school bus for Van Buren High School when I'm pastor in Brazil, Indiana. I'm substitute bus driver, and then I got a bus route. So I'm driving a public school because the church was small, you know. I think we got paid quite a bit from there, like $50 a week or something like that. And so because we like to eat, I had to work other job. And so I'd mow grass in the summer and drive a school bus. But I was driving for elementary kids. And I'd pick up kids at Van Buren, take them to Poland, Indiana, drop them all off, come back, get the high schoolers, take them to Poland, Indiana. Say, well, why couldn't they coordinate it where it'd just be one trip? Because if it's not your money, who cares? And I don't know. But anyway, Van Buren's elementary school. I had some fifth and sixth grader kids on there. It was actually pretty funny. They were stinkers, but they were kind of pretty funny. It was one boy, Eric, was hilarious. And so he comes on the bus one day after school, and he's like, He's like, he called me Jerry. He'd say, Jerry, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? I said, we got a new music teacher. He was late getting on the bus. Some of them were kind of late, and I'm kind of chewing him out. He said, no, you got to hear this. We got a new music teacher. And I said, really? Yeah, it's a woman. And I said, okay. He said, yeah, but there's a problem. I said, what? She can't sing. I said, what? He said, no, she's a music teacher, and her voice is horrible. I mean, she's off key. It's just horrible. I said, how'd she get to be in music? I don't know. He said, after school every day this week, he said, the reason we're late is when she thinks everybody's gone, she goes in the music room, and she puts on a pair of earphones, and she plugs it in, and she's got some tapes she listens to, and she sits there, and of course, she hears the music, but nobody else hears the music. She hears the voice. Nobody else hears the voice. And then she sings to the songs. And I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah. And I said, I'll tell you what, we had to get going. I said, tell you what, I'm going to get here early tomorrow. I said, if she does it tomorrow, run out here and get me. I want to see this. And they're like, oh, yeah, we will, man. So we're getting the bus loaded up. These guys come running out. Come on, she's doing it. She's doing it. I take off running in there. We're sneaking down the hallway. We're peeking around the corner. This woman sitting in there, and she's singing, I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadows. If I fail, if I succeed. And then it goes on down and says, no matter what they take from me, they'll never take. And then she goes like this, my dignity. And by this time, we are laying on the floor in the hallway laughing. My dignity. I thought, they're not going to have to take your dignity. You just gave it away, man. I can't tell you how many on the way home. I'm trying to drive the bus, and Aaron keeps getting in front of everybody going, my dignity. I was laughing so hard about wrecked the bus. Folks, this song, who, by the way, because of what I just did, many of you will be singing most of tomorrow. But, help us, Jesus. But I want you to, listen, innocent song, number one hit. And by the way, it sounds so right, but I want you to think about what we just read from the scriptures. The greatest love of all. I believe the children are our future. That sounds good. Teach them well. Let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everyone's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone to fulfill my needs. Isn't that sad? A lonely place to be, so I learned to depend on me. Now listen to this. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I lived as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Now watch this. Why? Because the greatest love of all is happening to me. I found the greatest love of all inside of me. The greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself, it is the greatest love of all. Okay? Don't tell, oh, I listen to some of this music and it's harmless. You're being brainwashed. Number one hit. Shot right up the ranks. You know why? Because it appeals to our carnal old man. It appeals to our fleshly way of thinking. So we got a generation growing up singing this song, number one hit, thinking that the greatest love of all is learning to love you. And yet the Bible says, specifically, in the last times, perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, well, I can help you with this matter. I'm parking here on purpose. Some of you are so unhappy. And the reason is you're sitting around and you've got the whole world on trial, and you like people that like you and do for you, and you want everybody to come, and you're always grumbling about why the preacher don't do more and the youth pastor don't do more and the Christians don't do more and somebody's not did this and no one's called me and no one's seen me. Good night. That, folks, listen to me. That's not just wrong. It's wicked. It's wicked. You see, now listen, I'm talking about a brand new life. I'm talking about absolutely a revolutionary way to live your life. And that's this. Decide that you're going to go into this world and find people that need a friend and give them unconditional love. This matter of natural love, no natural love, do you know why? Listen, why in the world during the middle of an ice storm, Sunday morning, the buses creep out there and cover whatever part of the route they can, and kids flood out the door? Because inside of all of us is the desire to have a natural love shown to us. A natural love. Folks, biblical friendship offers, watch this, I love this. Biblical friendship offers someone natural affection or a love of family given to someone who's not a member of your family. And we are showing that to these young people. We are offering them a love. That's why the Bible says, remember that verse I read? I've got things everywhere now here. But a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. I mean, if you have ever had somebody say to you what I've had said to me, Brother Jerry, you're closer to me and you have shown more genuine care for me than any member of my own family. People of the church love me more than my own family loves me. And folks, that's an indictment against the state of this culture. Satan has killed the natural affection even within families. About the only place that they can find this anymore is in the family of God. But look right up here. Some of y'all sitting there still pouting because I'm killing your idol. If we are not careful, people will walk in Blessed Hope Baptist Church and they won't be able to find it here either. Come on. Come on. Yeah. I don't show up on Sunday morning, come up here and sit down and say, let's see how many people come up and say hi to me today. Come on, somebody. Encourage me. I'm waiting. Watch it. This could change your marriage. Some of you guys walk home, and you know what you're... As soon as you're walking the door, your mindset's already thinking the things your wife should do for you. Why don't you walk in the house and see what you can do for her? Amen. Amen. Some of you kids are pouting all the time. You know why? Because people are not doing for you. Well, they ought to do this for us. They ought to do that for us. When's the last time you did anything for anybody except your stinking self? Amen. Amen. I like saying stinking from the pulpit. Sometimes I just work it in even if it doesn't need to be there. I just like saying it. Amen. And so this matter of biblical friendship is a matter of taking this verse, this wonderful first principle. I've spent most of the time on this one. I'll hit the other ones just a glance and we'll go. But listen, the whole, and I think this encompasses everything else. The blessing of being a friend is the blessing of learning to show someone unconditional love. I mean, folks, I love people and have them just spite me. And you know what I do? Watch this. It makes me smile. You say, you're sick. Thank you. Yeah, I am. You say, why does it make you smile? Because I think this. That's all right. I'll get them. I'll get them. See, they don't think they're going to like me, but they are. That was just round one. Because I'm so likable. All I got to do is just amp up the charm a little bit. I'll get them. Come on now. Come on. Amen. I think I'm just going to change a life. I think that person's really not bad. They're just broken. I think I'm going to keep working with them. I think I'm going to just keep digging around. I think when they try to run me off like they've run everybody else off, and they find out they can't, and they've tested and tested and tested because they've been burnt so many times, and they finally figure out, wow, you know what? Maybe this guy's for real. Maybe I can open up a part of me I've never been able to open up and not be hurt again. Amen? And And so just give somebody that gift, unconditional love. The Bible goes on to say, let's just hit some other ones real quick. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 10. I mean, that, folks, I've just given you the greatest. Preacher, I'd like to be interested in joining a ministry here at Blessed Hope. Just gave you the greatest ministry you could be a part of. And whatever ministry you're in, that's a part of that ministry. How about Proverbs 27:10, where we read, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not." Bless somebody with faithful support. You know, don't listen, folks. "Well, I used to be friends with them." That is an unbiblical statement. "I used to be friends with them." That's an unbiblical statement. If I choose to be your friend, I will not forsake you. I will not forsake that. Doesn't mean that I can join you in everything you do. Doesn't mean I can agree with everything you say. But I'm going to tell you something. I won't forsake you. And if you need something, call me. And if I can help you, I'll do it. Sometimes, listen, look right up here and listen to me. Some of you are disturbed about this. I've actually had people come up and just, I mean, like, ask me this question. "Preacher, you're still friends with people that have left Blessed Hope Baptist Church." "Oh, I forgot. We're supposed to make little dolls, voodoo dolls of them." Sit in my office with a pen going, You know why that's true? Because I didn't put conditions on my friendship. I didn't say, "I'll be your friend as long as you come to this church." I said, "I'm going to be your friend." Yeah, that's okay. Does that mean I agree with their decision? No. Doesn't mean that I even am happy about sometimes the places they choose. No. But I guarantee you, there's under my watch, I dare you to find the person that's left here that wouldn't say to you, "If I was in trouble, Brother Jerry would help me." I dare for you to find the ones that have left that say, "You know what? He's never shown an expression of love or concern." Now, I may have missed somebody. I'm not perfect. But you know what? I'm not a friend to them for what I can get out of them. I'm a friend to them. And so when I decide to be somebody's friend, I'm their friend. You know, friendship takes time. You know, friendship is time-consuming. Amen. And that's why I think that everybody in here, God, watch this. I want you to listen real carefully to what I'm going to say. "Well, preacher, I know somebody that you could have been a better friend to." Folks, I got 168 hours in a week like you do. I'm not supposed to be doing it for everybody. We're all supposed to be doing it. And I'll tell you this. I'm just telling you the way God works with me. If I'm the only one and it's different with the rest of the world, then that's fine. But I'm telling you that listen, I want to be friendly to everyone, but every once in a while, God speaks to my heart and says, "Be a friend to that person." And if I obey what the Holy Spirit dictates me to do, and you obey what the Holy Spirit dictates you to do, everybody will be covered just fine. Okay? I mean, it's time consuming. It is. It takes time. I know this. God has in my heart just placed certain individuals. You can say, "Oh, well, you care more about one people." No, I'm friendly to everybody, but I'm just telling you, God has put in my heart, dictated to me to offer a higher level of friendship to certain people that he's burdened my heart to. I want you to get over this. I want you to all get better about this. It's okay. You ought to be friendly to everybody, but it's not wrong to have friends. Okay, but don't be a snob. Remember the public school days? Oh, I have nightmares. I didn't mind Brazil school. It wasn't too bad. Kind of bunch of country kids, you know. We got along all right. Shack-a-mack, God help me. I'm serious. I went to Shack-a-mack in the middle of my 7th grade year. Left after my 10th grade year. Unbelievable. Public school. Pray for these public school kids. It hadn't gotten better. You know, you got this group. Got their friends. You know, it's like the pretty girls like to collect other pretty girls. Then they walk around and they're the pretty girl group. And they look with the disdain on everyone who's not in the pretty girl group. Then you got the athletes, and they pick athletes. And then you got the brainiacs, and they pick their little group. And everybody has this little thing, and everybody holds everybody else in disdain who's not. And I'm just kind of walking around going, really? Really? This is, yeah, wow. I mean, if it wasn't a law that you had to go to school, I wouldn't have went. I mean, what's that? And you think, you know what, hopefully when I get out of here one of these days, real life will be different. Sad, but a lot of times it's not. And you have these people, and they want to get in their little group, and they want to look in. And you just put in their little group, and, preacher, what group are you in? I don't like any of them. I don't like any of the groups. You know what? I'm going to spend my life looking around, looking over the top of all these groups. They already are so infatuated with you. I'm just, you know what I want to find? I want to find somebody that just needs a friend. Somebody that just needs a little love. Just somebody that's getting shoved off the side. If you would spend your life going around and collecting people that nobody else wanted, you'd have more friends than any of them. What do you mean collecting them? I mean being a blessing to them. I mean loving them. I mean getting interested in them. I mean going out of your way to just, for the first time in their life. I mean, you know what? At home they don't get it. At school they don't get it. They can walk in this door and find a teenage girl, a teenage guy that break away from his little group, walk over and say, what's your name? What's your name? You know where you're going? I don't know where I'm at. Why don't you come sit with me? I'll take care of you. I'll introduce you to some people. Sit with me. I'll take care of you. I'm going to tell you something. You'd be the happiest person in the world. You would. And so, listen, don't forsake people. Now, listen to this, folks. People are going to have real problems. People are going to fail. People are going to fall. People are going to stumble. You know what? That's not the time to leave them. That's the time they need you. People are going to mess up. You know, just loving them doesn't mean you agree with them. Loving them doesn't mean you're condoning it. Matter of fact, if you're loving them the right way, you're loving them with the purpose of restoring them so that they can find their way to repentance and restitution and restoration. I mean, ye which are spiritual ought to be involved in that. And so a real friend doesn't throw people away. A real friend just loves them. Number three, bless someone with hearty counsel. Proverbs 27, verse 9, you should be right there. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. A real friend, watch this. I love that word, hearty counsel. I love that, nourishing counsel. Sound counsel. What is hearty counsel? Hearty counsel is biblical counsel. Blessed is the man who, when he needs counsel, finds a true friend who will not give him human philosophy, but instead will give him biblical principles. And so make sure that if you're going to be a real friend, when somebody needs advice, you go to this book and give them hearty counsel, good, sound biblical counsel. Proverbs 27, verse 7, two verses away. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A true biblical friend will tell you what you need to hear instead of what you want to hear. A friend is honest with you. Many times that one of my real friends came up to me and didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, but what I needed to hear. So bless someone with loving rebuke. Sometimes, you know what you need to do? You need to rebuke somebody as a friend. Now, let me help some of you young people. Some of you think that the people in your life who are not your friends are the ones that tell you what you don't want to hear. And the ones who are your friends are the ones that tell you what you want to hear. But usually it's the opposite. Okay, well, you know what? I thought they were my friend. But they come up and they said, I shouldn't be doing this, and I shouldn't be doing this, and I shouldn't be doing this. They just proved they were your friend. The person that comes alongside you and says, oh, there ain't nothing wrong with that, and there ain't nothing wrong with that, and you know what, you're just fine, and they're just making a big deal on another. That's not your friend. You know what that is? That's the kisses of an enemy. It's not true friendship. Okay? And so once you begin to define friendship based on the parameters of God's word, I think I read the wrong verse. Look, Proverbs 27, 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Get that? Faithful are the... You know what wounds are? That means somebody comes up and hurts you. They leave a mark. Okay? Think about that. Hold on to it just a second. I'll now look at verse number 17, Proverbs chapter number 27, then we're going to wrap it all up. And we'll go eat some cake. Yeah. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. How can I be a blessing, preacher? Bless someone with the challenge to be better. The goal is to lift people up. The goal is to encourage and challenge people around you to be better for the Lord. Find someone who can be influenced and influence them for right. Now, can we wrap all this up? I want you to think with me. Let me have your minds for the next minute or so, okay? You think of these parameters, these descriptions in Proverbs of true biblical love. Unconditional love, never forsaking you, source of hearty counsel, loving rebuke, and someone who just being around them makes you want to be better. Now think about this. Is not that a beautiful description of our Lord Jesus Christ? Who is the greatest friend you can have in the world? Jesus. Why? Because he'll love you unconditionally. He'll never forsake you. He promised that. He's the source of hearty counsel. He will lovingly rebuke you. Thank God he does when we need it. And he's someone who just being around him makes you better than you are. But you know what, folks? It's not just Jesus. There's other people in your life that fit that description. You know what? The greatest friend I have outside the Lord Jesus Christ is my wife. You know what? Unconditional love, never forsaking me, source of hearty counsel, loving rebuke. Yeah, loving rebuke, that's okay. Gentlemen, don't look at me like you never need it. Someone who just being around them makes me want to be better for God. That's my why. Teenagers, look right up here. I don't know what kind of list you have that you thought described what friendship was, but I promise you this list describes your mom and dad. Unconditional love. You think you got that from those carnal friends you've been hanging around? Just turn on them once. Just go against them once. Just stand up once. You'll find out, you know what? They'll replace you in a heartbeat. But you know what? Isn't it funny? Friends, you think friends come and friends go and mom and dad's still there loving you? Never forsaking you. Source of hearty counsel. Loving rebuke. Amen. Someone who just being around them makes you want to be better. Listen, folks, the thing about it is a lot of times the people who are friends have convinced us are not our friends are our friends. And if we would look at the Word of God, we'd realize the people that are trying to turn our hearts from them are not our friends. And let me just throw myself in the mix if I can be a bit selfish. I'm going to tell you what. You know who you heard preach to you tonight? A friend. Because I'm going to love y'all. Even if I want to kill you, I'm going to love y'all. I mean this. And I won't forsake you. And I'll give you hearty counsel. If you come to me and you're fishing around looking for the answer you want, you're not going to get the answer you want. You're going to get the answer you need. Because I'm not interested in just giving you something to make you feel good. I want to give you the Word of God that's really going to help you. Loving rebuke. I'm not afraid to rebuke you. I'm not. I've had four pastors in my life. Four pastors. I've said this about them. Four different men that I've sat under that's pastored me in my life. And there's two things that's true about all four of them. Number one, every single one of them loved me. And number two, not a one of them was scared of me. And you know what I can say? I was blessed. I was blessed to have that. Some of you think you want a pastor you can control, but that'd be the worst pastor you could have. What you need is a pastor God can control. Amen. Loving rebuke. Someone who just being around them makes me want to be better. And that's the kind of life I want to live. I want to be able to come to somebody and influence them, and just having spent time with them, having them walk away from that experience saying, I want to be better for God. Now look right up here. Let me have you check yourself out. Listen, are you pulling people up or are you dragging people down? If someone spends an hour with you, do they feel more excited about the Lord and more excited about the church and more excited about serving God? Or are they down and depressed because they've been dumped on with a bunch of junk? You know what? We ought to be sharpening each other. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance, get that, the countenance of his friend. If you're not sure about what kind of friends you have, go spend an hour with them. Go back to your room, look in the mirror. How's your countenance? Good. Amen. Amen. So that's good for us. Folks, listen to me. Let's be a true biblical friend. Let's offer in this, our place, our church, unconditional love, a loyalty and a faithfulness to others, a source of hearty counsel, loving rebuke, and let's create an atmosphere where when people come in here, they leave here saying, I want to be better for God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed to spend, Lord. May we dispel, hopefully we have, God, with your Spirit's help, may we dispel some of the false notions that have crept because of the brainwashing of our culture, sitcoms and movies and songs. We've convinced an entire generation. We've given them a false definition of friendship. So I pray, dear God, the Word of God would transform us by the renewing of our mind. Help us to find that good and perfect and acceptable Word of God, a will of God. May we leave here tonight, Lord, looking for opportunities, looking for opportunities of service and opportunities to extend friendship and kindness, and looking for people that need some love, need to see the love of God. Lord, use this church to continue as it has, Lord, to influence a community. Don't let us get inward looking. Don't let us get selfish. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, please, with our